Now we'll turn our attention to spending significantly more to avoid massive fines. Well, that's the recommendation contained in a new joint report by the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and Climate Change Advisory Council. It warns that Ireland could face a bill of €26 billion for missing EU-agreed climate targets, and that it's faring the worst on such targets of all member states across the EU so far. The report calls on the government to invest billions in upgrading Ireland's energy grid, speeding up the rollout of electric vehicles and supporting changes in farming practices to reduce the cost of missing these targets. Well, joining us here now in studio to discuss this is Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, Mary Donnelly, and also from our Cork studio, Chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, Seamus Coffey. Good morning to you both. Mary, I'll start with you here first in studio. This climate action plan and the targets, it has always raised concerns. It's grim reading, this report. What worries you the most in terms of the possible failures?
Ultimately, the failure to achieve our climate targets will come with financial penalties. We will have to buy credits from other member states, which will cost us an enormous amount of money. And one of the reasons why we have come forward with a report today is to signal this concern and to reinforce the message that we can reduce these costs by spending the money today, which will give the benefit to Irish people, society and economy, and allow us to make the transition to a sustainable society faster.
And Seamus, just the, as she outlined there, the costs then if we are dramatically off these targets, as is predicted. So your advice really then is we must spend billions more now or pay heftily in the long term. What kind of figures are we looking at?
Yeah, so in overall terms, we're looking at huge figures, and really it is a choice of when the money is spent. And like from the perspective of the Fiscal Council, what we're looking at here is a very significant fiscal risk. We could sit in our hands, do very little over the next number of years, and as Mary says, face these very high non-compliance costs in the 2030s. In all scenarios, running to billions of euro. Yes, there's quite a wide range, so there is an awful lot of uncertainty here. We don't know by how much the targets will be missed. We don't know what the credits will cost. But if we make some reasonable assumptions, you can put figures on them, and we are talking in the billions, and they would be from the low single digits up to double digit figures. So these are enormous sums of money, and the issue with this is that we could wait, spend that money then on those non-compliance costs, or we could look to address it now, and as Mary said, get the benefit of spending the money into the economy, improve our energy supply, perhaps get cleaner energy, get potentially cheaper energy, and certainly get less import intensive energy. So really we're looking at a position where significant sums of money have to be spent. If we wait, we'll end up transferring those funds to other countries, those countries that are overperforming their targets, such as Portugal, Spain and Greece, etc. Or we could actually look at spending the money here and try to get ourselves in a better position to meet these targets.
And it's important to note that these are legally binding commitments that Ireland and the EU has made, that it could face, as you said, penalties and uncertainty around that. But the key actions that you're proposing in this report, one of them, a hugely important one, is the investment in the electricity grid and renewable energy. Mary, if I can ask you, just in light of recent events, Storm Éowyn, nearly 770,000 people lost power, many for weeks. And we know that we're going to experience more of these extreme weather events and huge concerns around energy security. Are you concerned all of this will impact the move to clean energy?
Well, indeed, the storm has reinforced the message that we are making about the electricity system. We absolutely need to invest and invest substantial sums of money in our electricity system to make it resilient and also to make it capable to take all of the renewable energy that we can generate on the island. This means we need to invest multiple billions, more than business as usual, in the electricity system, and we need to do that immediately.
Now, the government has outlined some plans in terms of the forestry corridors and others in the immediate aftermath of Storm Éowyn, but as it's generally trying to make strides in wind and solar energy, we understand the government is seeking approval to develop a liquefied natural gas terminal to be used as an emergency, I might add, for energy security. But how does that sit with our climate plan for clean energy?
Well, the climate plan for clean energy is to have 80% renewable electricity by 2030. The balancing 20% would probably be supported by gas. At the moment, that comes through from the pipes, the undersea pipelines coming from Scotland. And this proposal coming through now is to have a security backup for that 20%. In the short term, one can see the logic for that. But the key issue that we're concerned about is that we are not achieving our targets of 80% by 2030 for renewable electricity coming from, for example, onshore wind and solar farms. and also supporting the rollout of the grid to take that electricity and make it available to people in their homes and in our businesses.
Now, there are other shortfalls in other areas. The move away from diesel and petrol cars to fully electric. Seamus, if I can ask you, the issues around this, many listeners will possibly say that they find the charging infrastructure is just not up to scratch.
Yes, and this would be an area where we can see further room for improvement in terms of developing the charging infrastructure, offering subsidies for those to create the charging units at home, and also sort of creating the financial incentives for the transition to electric vehicles. And like from a broader macroeconomic perspective, like we find ourselves in a very strong economic position with low unemployment. And that means that if there are certain things we want to do, we may face difficulties in finding the resource, particularly the labour resources, domestically to do those. But when it comes to electric vehicles, we can get those made abroad. We can get workers in other countries to make them. And if we subsidise them, we can import those. And that would not add to sort of domestic pressures when it comes to inflation, etc. So one of the issues with the electric vehicles is that perhaps if the financing can be made available through importing, we can bring in the products, accelerate the transition to electric vehicles. And if we have those renewable energy targets met for electricity, bring our overall emissions down.
What about the sector with significant emissions compared to other EU countries? I'm talking about agriculture, because we know, like, farming techniques are one of the key actions that you mention, and much has already been included in the Climate Action Plan. So what are you suggesting that could be done to change or improve that target? Seamus, can you hear us?
Oh, yes. Sorry, yeah. Just in relation to agriculture, that would be more under the remit of the Climate Change Advisory Council. I think St. Mary would be best placed to handle that.
Well, yeah, just I suppose in terms of the list of targets, there was several ones outlined. Mary, we'll pass that to you in terms of there are key action plans, many to protect both farmers, but also decarbonise massively. How is that faring and how do you see changes helping at all?
So the changes for farming coming down the track are those that have been demonstrated already and proven to be effective in the Irish context. And we've done that obviously through the Chagas research. So I suppose the three key areas are new forms of fertiliser. And already farmers are adopting these new forms of fertiliser very effectively, and new forms of grassing seeds. The second area is methane reducing additives. You're quite right to say that Ireland is very significantly different to other member states in that 34% of our emissions come from agriculture, with the highest of any country in Europe. So methane reducing additives for both slurry and for feed are key elements in terms of reducing our methane emissions. And these are new technologies that are coming on stream now. And we are calling on the government to support farmers in the introduction of those, but not just government. We really do feel very strongly that it's the supply chains that also need to be involved. So the meat processors, the co-ops, and indeed ultimately the retailers and consumers to benefit and to pay for the sustainability element of the food that we are able to purchase in the supermarkets.
And Seamus, just to you, I mean, there's so much focus at the moment on defence spending globally and here. And I suppose the worry for many will be that climate is being pushed into the background despite all of these commitments that have been made.
Yes, absolutely. And I think sort of the key message we're trying to get across here is that this is something we're going to face. Regardless of the actions we take, it's either spend the money now, and if we delay, we'll end up spending the money in the future. So the best move would be to take the actions now to actually ameliorate some of the sort of the failures to meet our climate change targets we've seen over recent years. So the assessment period for this is out to 2030, and the assessment formally will begin around 2032. So it might seem as if it's a good way off yet, but looking at the projections set out by the Environmental Protection Agency, we know that Ireland is failing to meet its targets. And maybe it mightn't appear huge in a European or a global context, and other countries are likely to miss their emissions targets by more. The issue in Ireland is just our relative size. The scale of the miss on a per person basis and a per capita basis will be much larger here, and that means then the potential financial implications are much larger here. So there might be a view that maybe perhaps this wouldn't be implemented, but if you look at the countries that are hitting their targets, they will look to seek the financial compensation for exceeding their targets and having these credits available to sell, and they will look for countries that have missed their targets to buy them. And in the case of Ireland, in relative terms, the cost of those purchases will be the greatest across the EU. So for other countries, it might actually be relatively small, but here it could be quite large. We could offset that by actually taking some of those measures that have been gone through there now to reduce our emissions, get closer to those targets, and reduce the cost in the future. So it is a case of spend now and get the benefits, or spend the money in the future and give it to somebody else.
And Seamus, just very briefly on a different, just the concerns globally about the impact of US tariffs already in effect in several countries, a waiting game for the EU. But how can Ireland best prepare?
Yes, so it's another area where uncertainty reigns supreme. We've seen a lot of announcements from the US administration about tariffs on Mexico, China and Canada. And now it looks like many of those are going to be implemented. And I suppose that the fear from an Irish perspective is that this leads to sort of a wider and a broader sort of impact of tariffs on trade. We are a very open economy. It creates a lot of uncertainty. We're very dependent on the US with a lot of manufacturing happening on here. So I think like we're now seeing these things being implemented. A lot of it was kind of taught beforehand. Now we're reaching to dates where these have been triggered. And like it's sort of an odd position to be in with. I thought we'd moved away from sort of a tariff-based trade system. But now it looks like we're moving very much towards it. And it's hard to see the benefits in the short term for the US. US consumers are going to end up paying these tariffs. The manufacturing isn't going to change location. Apple, etc. aren't going to start manufacturing iPhones in the US, at least not in the next 4 years. So we are in a very unusual position, and one that creates heightened risk for Ireland.
And one that will create far more discussion along with climate. Seamus Coffey and Mary Donnelly, thank you both very much for speaking with us this morning.